Hey, good morning, everybody. The Appropriations Committee will come to order. Ms. Sherrill, would you please call the roll?
Chair Trumbull.
Here.
Vice Chair McClure. Representatives Alexander, Avila, Burton, Bush.
Here.
Diamond, Drake.
Yes.
Ranking Member DuBose.
Here.
Duran.
Here.
Fine.
Here.
Geller. Grawl.
Yeah, here.
Grant.
Here.
Angolia, excused. Jenny. Jenny.
Here.
Latvala.
Here.
Leek.
Here.
Masullo.
Here.
Umfroy. Perez.
Here.
Plakin. Placencia, excused. Renner.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Tomco. Wilhite.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, members. We've got three bills today, so we'll jump right in. Representative Byrd, you're recognized to explain House Bill 7051.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. For your consideration today, I have House Bill 7051, Law Enforcement and Correctional Officer Practices. The bill makes several statutory changes to provide best practices for law enforcement and correctional officers, including the following. Regarding employment, it requires an applicant for employment as a law enforcement officer, correctional officer, or correctional probation officer to disclose whether he or she is the subject of a pending investigation or separated from criminal justice employment while under investigation. Provides requirements for pre-employment background checks for law enforcement officers, correctional officers, and correctional probation officers. It requires a law enforcement or correctional agency to maintain employment records for at least 5 years. With respect to training, it requires the Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission, the CJSTC, to develop basic skills training courses relating to the use of force by July 1st, 2023, and requires each law enforcement or correctional agency in Florida to develop and adopt policies on the use of force, including proportional use of force, alternatives to use of force, including de-escalation techniques, limiting the use of chokehold to circumstances where an officer perceives an immediate threat of serious bodily injury or death to any person, the duty to intervene if an officer witnesses another officer using or attempting to use excessive force, the duty of an officer to render medical assistance following the use of force, and instruction on substance abuse disorder and mental illness and appropriate responses to such a person. On accountability, it requires an independent review for specified use of force incidents by another law enforcement agency or state attorney. With respect to data transparency, it requires law enforcement agency in Florida to report information on specified use of force incidents to the FDLE on a quarterly basis beginning on July 1st, 2022. And finally, it prohibits a child younger than 7 years of age from being arrested, charged, or adjudicated delinquent for a delinquent act or violation of law unless the violation of law is a forcible felony. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks so much, members. There are no amendments. Are there any questions?
I have a question, sir.
Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this good bill, Representative Cord. Obviously, has a lot of pertinent things in it that are relevant to today's situation. Just one simple question. The 5 years keeping the records before they're expunged on an officer's record, why is it 5 years?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Roth, for the question. You know, the statute requires at least 5 years, so we want to make sure that there's that those maintenance of the records. The goal of this part of the bill is to ensure that an officer who is fired for cause from one agency isn't going to another agency and perhaps misrepresenting. So it allows the hiring agency to go back, and we sometimes with these numbers they're arbitrary. We thought 5 years was the minimum, but certainly an agency can keep them longer if they so choose.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Wilhite, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Byrd, could you clarify a question for me? When it says the arrest of a child under the age of seven, does that mean that there has to, or is it already currently practiced, that there has to be parental notification to the parent that their child is not where they drop them off at and assume where they're going to pick them up?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Wilhite, for the question. I'm not certain on how that procedure currently works. So a law enforcement officer can still take a child into custody. So if a child is acting unruly, so they're not arrested, they're not being charged or adjudicated, but they still have the authority, and they do now and will after hopefully the bill passes, to take a child. And I'll be more than happy to have staff or myself get back to you on what happens and how parents are notified, because I'm sure that circumstance is taking place now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just follow up. There is a question to the aspect of this. Obviously, a parent drops their child off at school, a child does something unruly, they could be detained, is what you're saying. But my procedure is more if they are being arrested or being charged or leaving the physical presence of the school where a parent dropped them off and going to another location or being processed or booked or questioned. That's where I would like to know. And if you could clarify that for me, I would appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Recognize.
Thank you. I will follow up with you, Representative Wilhite.
Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's just a follow-up on the question that was asked earlier with Representative Wilhite. We had that conversation earlier this morning about that, a child being detained without a parent being notified. So I would like to be able to hear the response whenever you have the opportunity to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, Representative Williams, I'll follow up with you as well.
Members, any other questions? Seeing no other questions, we'll move to public testimony. Daniel Olson, Office of the Attorney General. Place in support, thank you. Lisa Henning, Florida State Fraternal Order of Police as a proponent. Tara Gross, waiving in support. Ingrid Delgado, waiving in support. Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, waiving in support. Matt Puckett, Florida PBA, waiving support. Philip Sutterman, waves in support. Members, we're in debate. Anybody wishing to debate the bill? Representative Geller, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say this is a great bill. I'd like to see more done. I know a lot of our members would like to see more done, but I want to thank the sponsor for working so hard to make sure that we're doing something. And as was the case when we did the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill, this is a compromise, and it's not one step forward. This is a number of steps forward. It's been the product, I understand, of long discussion and long debate. I want to compliment those on both sides of that for doing the job we're sent up here to do, which is to legislate, to come up with something, to advance solutions, try to reach agreement where we can. Thank you, Rep. Chair Byrd. Thank you to the members, particularly of the Black Caucus, who I know worked very hard on it. This is the legislature doing our job and moving steps forward to protect our citizens. I'm always glad to see a bill like this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wishing, any other members wishing to debate? Representative Wilhite.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my questions go in line, Representative Byrd. You know, I think a child has a lot of, obviously has the closest connection with their parent. And if there is something that is not a serious felony that they created, that the parent being notified, the parent coming there, the parent working with the law enforcement or the school could potentially de-escalate a lot of the situation or future problems or traumatize this child. Not to mention that a child, a parent, when they drop their child off at school, and I've said this many times in committee, it's the longest time my kids are away from me that I entrust someone else to take care of them. And I'm hoping that that trust that I put in them is at that school. And if they're being taken somewhere else, I think the parents should be a part of that situation or that process. And so I would hope that we can clarify that and you'll be able to find that. And if not, that you're open and willing to maybe put an amendment in this that a parent has to be notified before the child leaves the facility or goes somewhere else where the parent could meet them there, or at least make an attempt to get that parent. Maybe they're working, maybe something difficult, but that you'd be amenable to changing or adding something in this bill to do that, because I don't think our goal at all in this bill is to traumatize a child under 7 years old in this process. So I really appreciate you working on this, and I know you'll follow up on this, and if not already in the bill, if you would please amend it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, seeing no more debate, Representative Byrd, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. And Representative Wilhite, as the father of a first grader, and you know, I share your concerns that they are when she is away from me. And so, you know, I know Representative Grawl's on the committee and has the Parental Bill of Rights. So we're going to protect kids, and we'll make sure that your concerns are met. Yesterday, members, one of the sheriffs who testified talked about the currency of trust, and trust in our public institutions is vital, and none more so than trust in law enforcement. The PCB reflects the work and conversations over many months with and between lawmakers, law enforcement, and citizens. The bill is a bipartisan effort to promote best law enforcement practices and make them uniform throughout the state. The conversations leading up to this work product have gone on for many months with many members of the Black Caucus. I want to specifically thank Representative Fentress Driscoll for her hard work and time. I want to thank the Speaker for his hard work and time, and for all of the members who participated in coming up with this product to ensure that the citizens of Florida have trust in their law enforcement and know that the justice is being equally applied throughout the state. And with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Having closed on this bill, Ms. Sherrill, would you please call the roll?
Chair Trumbull?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure? Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Avila?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member DuBose?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Ingolia? Jenny?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Leek?
Yes.
Masullo?
Yes.
Umfroy? Perez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Placencia? Renner?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Wilhite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 7051 reported favorably.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee.
Thank you. Representative Grawl, you are recognized to explain House Bill 1219.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill creates reporting requirements for the Attorney General's office so they can review healthcare mergers and acquisitions for anti-competitive behavior before they take place. It requires parties to notify the AG's office 90 days before the effective date of any transaction that could create monopolies in the healthcare market. This includes mergers, acquisitions, consolidations, affiliations where hospitals or group practices are buying up all the group practices in town, or even when the only hospital systems in town merge with each other. Basically, any transaction where one entity starts to increase its share of the control over the market. The bill also requires parties to notify the AG's office anytime a merger or acquisition rises to the level where they are required to report to the federal government under federal antitrust law. The AG's antitrust division will review the information for any anti-competitive behavior and act accordingly to prevent monopolies. The bill requires the AG's office to submit biannual reports to the legislature on its reviews of these healthcare transactions, and a hospital that fails to comply is subject to a civil penalty of up to $500,000, which based on the threshold for review in this bill of $50 million, that is a potential of a 1% penalty. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thanks so much, members. There are no amendments. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, move to public testimony. Christopher Newland, Florida Gastroenterology Society, says it's waiving in opposition. Liz Brady, Office of the Attorney General. Good deal. Members, that does it for public testimony. We're in debate. Representative Diamond, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's interesting how when you read a bill in a new set of facts, in a new time, it feels differently. I know the House supported this bill last year, and I supported it, but we're now in the midst of this pandemic, and given the stresses that I know that our healthcare world is under, and knowing as well that there is already existing state and federal oversight on these issues, I've just become uncomfortable with the idea of an additional regulation at this time, given the significant loss of revenue that I know our healthcare providers have experienced as a result of COVID-19. So for those reasons, as I mentioned to Rep. Grawl this morning, I'm unfortunately going to be voting no on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members wishing to debate? Representative Burton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and members. I don't think there's anybody, certainly all equally feel the concern, but nobody more so than me, for the concern for our healthcare providers, hospital systems, and the stresses that they have endured during the pandemic. Having said that, I don't believe that this particular bill in any way impacts their day-to-day operations. It is not a new regulation on how they operate within their facilities. What it does is it helps consumers and it protects consumers. So I would hope, and by consumers, I mean all Floridians who access any level of health care in our state. So I would appreciate your support of Representative Grawl's good bill.
Members, seeing no more debate, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the conversation around this important topic. I know that many of us have seen in our communities these mergers and acquisitions that do lead to anti-competitive practices and higher health care costs. I believe there is a great deal of merit in doing what we can to decrease costs across the board for the citizens of the state of Florida, and with that, I ask for your support of this bill.
Chair Grawl, having closed on our bill, Ms. Sherrill, would you please call the roll?
Chair Trumbull?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure? Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Avila?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Diamond?
No.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member DuBose? Yes. Duran?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Engolia? Jenny?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Leek?
No.
Masullo?
Yes.
Pomfroy?
Yes.
Perez?
No.
Plankin? Placencia? Renner? Roth?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Wilhite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, we'll show House Bill 1219 reported favorably. Representative Williams, you're recognized to explain CS for Senate Bill 100. Did I say Williamson?
Williamson.
Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill draws on the recommendations of the MCORS Task Force and prioritizes strategic improvements to existing highway facilities. Specifically, the bill repeals MCORS and related provisions, but retains the associated funding in the State Transportation Trust Fund to support needed transportation projects. It directs FDOT to evaluate existing arterial roadways for the development of controlled access facilities and to include such projects in the work plan. It leverages ongoing improvements to the existing Suncoast Parkway to authorize the construction of strategic controlled access facilities as necessary to facilitate the free flow of traffic on US 19 from Suncoast Parkway 2. To I-10 in Madison County, and it establishes a new program to prioritize widening projects on rural two-lane arterial highways serving high volumes of commercial vehicle traffic, and that is the bill.
Hey, thanks so much for explaining the bill. There are no amendments. Members, are there any questions? Representative Gale, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Chair Williamson, Williamson. What does this do to the connector from the end of the turnpike at Wildwood to the Suncoast Parkway, which at least I personally think is really desperately needed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we probably will have to talk offline on a specific question to that area, but I know that that Suncoast Parkway area, it is looked at in this bill, and there will be some work done on that.
Any other questions? Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Geller, for your question. So I'm going to ask a similar question. So the change in this MCORS, does that mean we're going to have some discussion in the future about widening the Florida's turnpike? Because we're talking about, we had a pretty aggressive program with MCORS. That's my question.
Representative Williamson, you recognize?
I don't know that would be particular directly to this bill, but what this is going to do is by repealing this, we're going to take care of our existing infrastructure. And
The point now is when you look at a project of starting new infrastructure in place, roads, the key thing we need to do right now, especially after the pandemic that we've had over the last year and seeing some of the revenue that the department has not gotten over the last year because of people not paying gas taxes, we want to make sure that we have the dollars to spend on the existing infrastructure we have in place. And there will be a strategic plan put in place to help those arterial roads in the rural areas as we move forward.
Very good. Seeing no other questions, we'll move to public testimony. Lindsay Cross, Florida Conservation Voters. You're recognized.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Trumbull and members of the committee. I'm Lindsay Cross, Government Relations Director with Florida Conservation Voters. I'm speaking for information purposes. However, the online appearance form requires that speakers are either in support or in opposition, not somewhere in between. But clearly, this bill is a better deal and less destructive than the current MCORS program. The fact is that millions of acres of natural Florida have already been destroyed, and millions more will be. Without adequate and consistent funding for programs like Florida Forever, we will never accomplish bold conservation goals like fully protecting the Florida Wildlife Corridor. To be clear, SB 100 is better than the current MCORS program, which is a budget-busting boondoggle. Most notably, this bill takes the Southwest Central Corridor off the table so that panthers can breathe a little easier. It also has less aggressive timelines, but it leaves on the table a new turnpike extension, which in all likelihood will be quite similar to the Northern Turnpike MCORS toll roads. The extent of road upgrades needed along US 19 is also unknown. Both of these areas are rich in natural resources and springs. So we really don't know which natural areas and local communities will be impacted. We're not naive. Our population continues to grow, and people need places to live and ways to get around. But efforts to strip growth management and preempt local municipalities for doing what's right for their residents makes it harder or near impossible to grow smartly and in a way that damages less of our irreplaceable natural areas. To truly protect what we love about the state and grow in a sustainable way, this bill must be coupled with full and consistent conservation funding, more aggressive protection of our water resources, and a renewal of our commitment to good growth management. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Elizabeth Alvey, Audubon, Florida, says that she waves in support. Alex Miller, Florida Trucking Association, waves in support. Members, that does it for public testimony. We're in debate. Anyone wishing to debate the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Williamson, you're recognized to close.
Wave closed, Mr. Chairman.
Having wave closed, Ms. Sherrill, please call the roll.
Chair Trumbull?
Yes.
Vice Chair McClure?
Yes.
Representatives Alexander?
Yes.
Avila?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Diamond?
Yes.
Drake?
No.
Ranking Member DuBose?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grawl?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Engolia? Jenny?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Leek?
Yes.
Masullo?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Placencia? Renner?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tomko?
Yes.
Wilhite?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Williamson?
Members, by your vote, we'll show CS for Senate Bill 100 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Williamson. Members, that does it for our committee agenda this morning. Thank you all for joining us. Seeing no other business before our committee, Vice Chair McClure moves to rise without objection. We'll show the motion approved. Thank you all.